This conference will now be recorded.
It's 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, the 12th of January, which means it's time for our Fresh Insights webinar, the first in a brand new series brought to you by Graduate Recruiters Network. So welcome. If those who don't know me, my name's Dan Hawes, and I'm the GRB Group co-founder. I co-founded the GRB Group in 1997 after graduating in business studies from Brighton University. The GRB Group have grown to become the go-to platform for high caliber university students, recent graduates, alumni and employers. We have 57 staff and over 2,000 clients across all sectors, companies such as Amazon, IBM, Unilever and Ocado, but also several fast-growing SMEs. Our recruitment experts have successfully matched over 8,000 graduates with full-time graduate or executive level jobs. The GRB Group consists of several different divisions, which I'll just introduce you to for those who are new today. So GRB stands for Graduate Recruitment Bureau. And we are a recruitment agency specializing in introducing first-class talent to organisations all over the UK. Across various sectors, we have desks concentrating on IT, engineering, marketing, consultancy, and so on. We also have two experienced hire divisions, Cortex and Metrica. They serve our clients who are looking for graduates with more than 3 or 4 years experience. So typically, they're looking for their second or third job. Cortex specialises on the IT side, and Metrica on the analytical side. Graduate Mentor is a new platform we launched in August 2020 to mitigate the effects of the pandemic, especially for students and graduates from diverse, underrepresented and disadvantaged groups. We have a huge range of mentors who kindly volunteered to offer free one-to-one mentoring sessions with those students. Organisations such as Facebook, Google, Royal Ordnance Survey and the British Army, to name but a few. If you're interested in mentoring, do visit that platform. We also have a regular podcast where we interview three university students, just giving you an idea what it's like to be a modern student. Useful for especially those who are unable to go onto campus right now, do events, career fairs, fresh affairs, that kind of thing. So it just enables you to get inside the mind of students and the challenges they face. As you can imagine, we're very active on LinkedIn. We have lots of groups on there that we manage, but also we're very active in sharing news, research, insights, that kind of thing. So not much happens in graduate recruitment without us knowing about it, and so we share it on LinkedIn. Rising Stars is our showcase of the 50 best final year students for this year, 2022, when they graduate in the summer. These are individuals we've identified who aren't just academically very, very good, but have proven themselves in other extracurricular activities. So they have the X factor, if you like. So you're able to view a summary of their achievements on our website and request their CV. So it gives you a shop window into the caliber of our talent pool. We also appreciate that lots of students would rather set up their own business. So we have a division that helps those individuals connect with other entrepreneurs, and that's called Student Startup. And GRN, which I'll explain a little bit more now for you quickly. So that was set up by GRB back in January 2009 for our clients and friends originally. And the idea is generally to bring together people who are involved in early talent. So typically HR advisors, HRBP, recruitment managers or directors, and early talent leads. The idea being we discuss current topics, usually presented by a mix of relevant and influential speakers. And the idea is that members are able to share best practice. So it's really beneficial for people who are new into the industry, but also those who've been in the industry for a long time to pick up new ideas. So it's a confidential environment. Hopefully you'll enhance your learning and ultimately help you become better graduate recruiters. Membership has grown considerably since we started in 2009, We have over 3,200 members. It's invitation only, so we carefully handpick members to join GRN. So we invited 23 new members in the last month to join. So we're looking to grow this as much as possible and hopefully reach 10,000 members by 2025. Members consist typically of FTSE 100 employers, but also fast-growing SME recruiters. But they do cover all sectors all over the UK. So this is a really nice mixture of individuals who are members. You'll also receive invites to webinars such as this, other special events. Hopefully this year we'll have some more face-to-face events. You'll have access to the LinkedIn forum where we have lots of interesting discussions. We share updates, news, also jobs in the industry that you may wish to apply for. We have a regular blog which we update with new information, surveys, and also a quarterly newsletter. If you're interested, there are extra benefits for VIP members for only £25 a month. Right, who's in the room? So without mentioning names, I grabbed all of your job titles and put it into a word cloud just to give you a flavor of who comes along to these kind of events. So you can see everyone's involved in early talent, careers, recruitment, and you're either managers or advisors, partners, that kind of level. So that's who we have in the room today. We have over 55 of you, which is wonderful. So the agenda, we're going to pass over very soon to our main speaker, who's going to be discussing breaking down barriers, how to make your recruitment process more inclusive. She's a leading industry expert, Katie Pryor, from GRB, and she shares her insights from several large-scale early talent projects on what works and what hasn't. So she's going to be talking for 30 minutes or so. Now, we've introduced something new where you actually have the opportunity to submit your questions when you register, and we've gone through those and we've prepared our answers for you today. But if you didn't and you have a question you'd like us to cover, do feel free to use the chat facility within this forum. We aim to finish by 1:30 and let you go. Now, please make sure your audio is off for the benefit of our speakers. Feel free to put your video on if you do wish, but we'll now talk a little bit about our presenter. So Katie, she's spoken before, and she's one of our key client solutions consultants here at GRB. So she focuses on running very large volume recruitment process outsourcing projects and advertising and attraction accounts. The main focus is client success whilst ensuring candidates have the best possible experience. Right, my time is up. I'm going to hand over to Katie now and let her take the stage. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Dan. Hi, everyone, and welcome to GRN's Fresh Insights series, how to make your recruitment process more inclusive. I appreciate Dan has just introduced me, but my name is Katie Pryor, and I'm one of the Senior Client Solutions Consultants at GRB, and I have been now for just over 3 years. So to give you a bit of background about me, so I work in partnership with a lot of different large volume graduate recruiters such as Tesco, Lindt, Birdseye and much more, providing them with outsourced solutions for their recruitment processes. So I've delivered multiple recruitment processes from start to finish, which has given me a wealth of knowledge and experience with reviewing the full recruitment process and attraction campaigns in terms of diversity and inclusion. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you all today and happy to take any questions at the end. I hope this session gives you a bit more insight and some food for thought as to how we can make our recruitment processes more inclusive. So it's become clear in the last couple of years how much effort is going into recruitment processes to ensure they're more inclusive, which is really positive. However, the change needs to be more to make a positive impact. This change needs to be company-wide and it needs to be a change in mindset. I appreciate this shift can feel challenging and sometimes, you know, you may not know where to start. So I'll give you a perfect example of how a lot of you might be feeling. So when I told my 61-year-old white middle-class dad that I was running this session today, his response was as follows: "But I don't understand what's to talk about. Surely companies should just be recruiting a diverse range of candidates for the job." In which I responded, "Well, this is the problem. Companies aren't always giving people the opportunity to get to the offer stage. And it's our job to break down those barriers to ensure that everyone has an equal opportunity to actually reach that offer stage," which I think is a great place to start. So let's talk about what steps you can take prior to even starting the recruitment slash sifting process. So graduate attraction and advertising slash branding. First things first, how are you positioning your brand slash company within the graduate marketplace? If a candidate goes onto the recruitment section on your website, are there a diverse range of employees in the pictures, in the company videos? I actually did a diversity review for a large financial company recently, and the first thing I saw when I went onto their website was, you know, that all the graduates were white males. And, you know, I thought about, you know, what message could this carry perhaps to a, you know, a black female graduate who wants to apply to this job? They might be thinking, oh, you know, not sure. Solution, what you can do is ensure that all of your company videos, imagery, content, media is diverse in terms of the groups represented. In addition to this, ensure you show potential employees what you're doing in terms of diversity and any events that you run or networks that you have. For example, you know, you might have an LGBTQ plus network at your company, or you might have a women in leadership network. You know, if you don't already have one in place, it doesn't cost any money to, you know, email around internally to ask if anyone wants to be an ambassador for this, and actually create a network. And hey, you know, it looks good on their CV too. Another small tweak you can make is reviewing your job descriptions slash adverts. So ensure they suit both a male and female audience. You know, a job description with a long list of requirements. Oh, is someone, I think someone's come off mute and I'm getting a bit of feedback. There we go. Perfect. Where was I? So your job descriptions, making sure that they suit both a male and female audience. So if a job description has a long list of requirements, you could actually be putting off female candidates from applying. For example, statistically, if a female candidate sees more than 5 points under the job requirements, they actually self-select themselves out of the role completely and presume that they're unable to actually do the job. So, you know, you could ensure you look at this, but also ensure you look at the language to ensure that it's not either too masculine or too feminine. There's actually a website called Textio. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of it. That's an inclusive writing platform, so you can actually upload your job descriptions into that and ensure that it's not using gender specific language. Off the back of my previous point with job descriptions, advertise salaries. So if you actually advertise your salary, you will automatically increase your diversity stats in terms of social mobility. So it's definitely worth doing. So let's talk about where you're placing your job roles and who you're targeting. You ideally want to be advertising with a broad range of universities to capture a more diverse range of candidates. Social mobility and ethnicity are hugely impacted by geography and uni rankings. And, you know, there could be a candidate from either Aston, which is uni rank 45, or Oxford Brookes, which is uni rank 54, who are technically, you know, lower ranked universities. But both of those universities require compulsory placement years as part of their degrees. And I've recruited some fantastic graduates from those unis, and they are very, you know, commercially aware and everything. To be honest, it's pretty old school these days to actually be just targeting, you know, your top 20 universities or Russell Group universities. And according to Sybil, which is a marketing research agency, Black Heritage students are underrepresented at 22 out of 24 Russell Group universities and 27 out of 30 top ranked universities. So just widening out the universities you target will naturally improve your diversity. Finally, on this section, I'm seeing this less and less, thankfully, but some companies are still asking for a first degree as a minimum requirement. Now, asking for a first degree has a very negative impact on social mobility. It takes huge commitment to get a first. Therefore, if a candidate has to, you know, work alongside their studies, you know, they might get a 2-1, but they actually have a, you know, really good work ethic whilst also getting the 2-1. And according to Sybil, Black students are 2 times less likely to get a first in their degree than white students. Therefore, you know, asking for a first degree plus, you know, will decrease your diversity stats. If your boss is insisting that, you know, they do need a first plus, you know, make a case, look at the data. Does academic performance dictate performance on the job role? It's highly likely it doesn't. And side note, if you're using a first degree as a way of sifting your applications, you need to revise your application screening process. And obviously, any advice on this, do book in a chat with me after this session. So let's talk about the recruitment process. So after you've delivered your, you know, inclusive recruitment advertising campaign, which has attracted a diverse range of candidates, how do you break down those barriers within the recruitment process? So candidate management, coaching calls and mentoring is essential. Coaching and supporting candidates through a process is so important as you can manage expectations, which gives them an equal opportunity. You know, some candidates might have parents at home who are able to coach them and talk them through what to expect an assessment day or an interview, whereas some candidates might not have that support at home. So having, you know, someone support them through that will actually increase your stats in terms of social mobility. I actually work with a food retail client and they book in around 10 coaching calls on Teams with candidates to run through what the assessment day is going to look like, and the feedback being from the candidates that they felt more at ease at the assessment day, and in turn this will decrease drop off, so it's a win-win. Some candidates might feel awkward about asking for reasonable adjustments, but by building relationships with your candidates in the process through the calls, they will feel more comfortable asking if they do require a reasonable adjustment. So throughout the recruitment process, give your candidates enough time to do testing, any sort of video, you know, pre-recorded video interviews, and, you know, booking in telephone interviews, etc. Because candidates from lower socioeconomic groups are likely to have more time commitments, for example. So, you know, they might have commuting, they might have working, they might have family commitments. So try and give everyone at least a week to complete each stage of the process. Another big one. So think about who is marking, assessing, or, you know, doing any of your interviews at any stage. Question how diverse of a group of assessors do you have, and focus on interview pairings to ensure each assessor is quite different in terms of age, ethnicity, etc. This will create really good discussion and allow both parties to consider points about the candidate that the other may have not have considered. I think, you know, it's easy for unconscious bias to slip in, but we need to make a conscious effort to not hire people just because, you know, they're like us. In fact, I've always been taught to hire people who are better than me and different to me. So I think that's a really key one. So ahead of the assessment centre / final interview, always reimburse travel expenses and explain that in the job description / job advert. With regards to dress code, yes, first impressions count, but does the candidate need to wear a suit? The most common advice I give to candidates at present is to just ensure that, you know, you look tidy, you look, you know, dress smart, casual. You know, a candidate from a lower socioeconomic group may not have access to a suit, so removing this requirement will actually put everyone on equal par. So at the assessment day, or final interviews. It would be great if you can, you know, ask your assessors to wear any relevant inclusive lanyards or badges. For example, one of my retail clients, they all wear their LGBTQ plus support badges at the assessment day. And it's something that when I did all the candidate feedback calls afterwards, I'd say most of the candidates picked up on, and they said that it was really appreciated, that they thought it was great that they were wearing those badges. And to be honest, it's great representation for the company of how, you know, how diverse they are as a, you know, as a graduate recruiter. Also consider having D&I or health and wellbeing talks on your assessment day, and just show off the great things that you are currently doing as a business in terms of diversity. So final point on this, you know, the most important person who this recruitment process will impact is the candidate. So if you've made an offer to someone, or, you know, you've hired a cohort of graduates, send them a feedback form. You know, you can do anonymous feedback forms for big cohorts, or you can have a debrief with, if it's just a couple of candidates that you've hired, and talk to them about how they found the process. At GRB, as part of any RPO projects we do, we actually send out a post-recruitment survey on Google Forms to all final stage candidates about how they felt the process went, you know, what they'd change, if they felt there were any barriers, you know, what could be improved, etc. It's essential to get feedback from, you know, your audience, essentially. Finally, obviously, it goes without saying, but, you know, successful teams are the most diverse, and recruiting diverse talent is essential for a business to succeed. So I'll now run through some of the questions that we had submitted prior to this session, and then I'll take any questions if anyone has any ones on here. There we go. So Louise Boland asked, what are the best platforms and content pieces to help build brand awareness within the graduate slash early talent marketplace? So I'd say use diversity specific job boards, such as there's one called Diverse Jobs Matter, and there's one called Even Break. And, you know, use job boards who are able to target a broad range of candidates. GRB's job board can target geographically. This is also essential. And again, just putting on your job adverts what you're doing of diversity, and anything relevant. So another question here from Janine Martin. Hi, Janine, if you're here. What are the common mistakes made by recruiters? I'd say probably focusing too much on the actual process. And, you know, I think it's important to actually think about the bigger picture, i.e. how are you positioning yourself in the graduate marketplace, the branding? Because if you get that part right, you'll be actually starting the recruitment process off in a much better position, as you will have a more diverse range of candidates to even begin with. Again, you know, supporting your candidates, so it's thinking of that bigger picture, the candidate management calls, and also again who is marking, sifting, assessing your recruitment process. I think it's important just to look at every single stage and, you know, who is assessing each part of it. Another question from Georgie Lewis. Hi, Georgie. It's lovely to actually see so many clients, current and past on here. So how do you make applicants feel comfortable to share that they have a need for reasonable adjustments to be made and not feel like they will be penalised in the process for this? So I think putting a clause in the job advert slash job description, even if it's, you know, at the bottom or something, to say, you know, if anyone requires reasonable adjustments in this process, we fully support this, or something like that. According to ACAS, which is an employer advisory agency, you know, they said this is very beneficial, putting it in the job advert, and will put people at ease, essentially. Call coaching, again, and candidate management calls are great for, you know, frequently checking in with your candidates and building that relationship and reassuring them, which in turn obviously decreases drop off anyway. But if you build that relationship with the candidate, they will feel comfortable enough to come forward and say, you know, actually, I do require a reasonable adjustment, and it's, you know, this is what it is. Also, just putting things in place to make it a more equal playing field. So, for example, at all of our digital assessment days that we run, we actually build in loads of breaks throughout the whole day. And it just means that anyone that does have a reasonable adjustment will be in line timetable wise with everyone else. Okay, another question from Zia Kushnad. So is psychometric testing still used within the graduate recruitment industry? To be honest, not as much as it was, and it does have an adverse impact on Black and Asian minorities and social mobility. So I think quite a few companies have actually stepped away from this. To be honest, my advice would be to just take a more holistic view, which is becoming more popular. So, you know, when your application screening, taking a more holistic view on the applications, using that as the sifting method rather than the psychometric testing. And the final question is Evelyn Bate. How do you tread the line between positive action and positive discrimination to do as much as possible to drive diversity of hires through the selection process? Really good question. So there's lots of things you can do. One in particular is diversity events. So you can do these obviously face to face if it ever gets back to normal, or virtually. So you could run a Women in Tech, you know, something like that. And it influences females to come to the event. And then what you can do is use that pipeline from the event to, you know, use for your internship hires, to use for your graduate programs. It's a really popular way of actually attracting, you know, specific talent. We also run these for quite a few clients and they do work really well. And also the Big Four regularly run events like this. For example, Morgan Stanley's run a Black Heritage Students Quantitative Finance event. You know, anything like that is a great thing to do, and it is positive action, definitely. So that's all the questions that we had submitted before the session. Does anyone have any questions now? And I will take a drink because I'm very thirsty.
Thank you, Katie. We've got one question from Vicky. Could you just repeat the names of the job boards you recommended?
Mm-hmm. It was... what they called again. Oh, I can't find it right now. What I can do is I can pop it on the chat in a moment.
Okay, thank you. If you do have any other questions, please put them into the chat. Katie will be available on the LinkedIn group for the next 24 hours if you do have any other questions. We've got one here that's just popped in from Tom. Thank you, Tom. Nice to have you along today. You've heard some of the online behavior assessments don't have as much of an adverse impact as the traditional psychometrics. So have you, Katie, I suppose, have you any examples of online behavioural assessments, which, you know, been very popular because they don't have as much an impact as traditional psychometrics, for instance.
To be honest, I haven't, because all my clients that I work with don't use any testing, so I actually don't have any information on that. But it's a great question, and I'm happy to do some research on it and catch up with you at another point, Tom.
Thank you, Katie. If there are any other questions that have come through on the registration form, Katie, you've got an opportunity to quickly screen some more questions for our guests. In the meantime, I will just share my screen just very quickly to say that if you haven't already become a member of the GRN LinkedIn group, I will send you a link to join it. That's where we have all these discussions and we share insights, news, research and jobs. So visit the GRN forum and Katie will be on there for the next 24 hours. We've also recorded this, so by all means, listen back to it. If you haven't been able to make notes today, share it with your colleagues. I will send you all a link when it's uploaded to our YouTube channel. And we've got a brand new series of events throughout 2022. So at Fresh Insights, which we will have three of these sessions throughout the year. The Great Debate, again, will be an online event where we have two panelists discussing a challenging issue that everyone faces. And we're hoping we'll get lots of engagement people who are very, very interested in particular subjects. So hopefully we'll get the discussion moving forward on a lot of key subjects that face early talent recruiters. That'll be held three times a year also. And we've also got three leaders' lunches. So this will be held back at the Institute of Chartered Accountants, who will kindly host us in Moorgate, London. And I'll be sending invites out to individuals to come along to our leaders' lunch throughout the year. Katie, back over to you if you have some more questions that you've had a chance to look at.
Yeah, I don't have the full list, unfortunately. I picked out sort of five or six, so I've read all of them, but I can't remember who asked about the diversity job boards, but I've just popped it on the chat. The job boards were Diverse Jobs Matter and Even Break, and that's for candidates with any disabilities, the Even Break one. And also, as mentioned, for targeting geographically, GRB's job board can support with that if anyone wants to have any chat about that.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we've had a few questions submitted by you. Hopefully that's covered everything. And a few questions also from you today. So I hope that's given you a quick overview as to how you can remove barriers and make sure that your recruitment processes are more diverse. It really says to me you have to break down every single thing and look at the detail very, very closely to widen the net and improve your attraction and ultimately recruitment of diverse talent. And there are some fantastic students who will be entering the jobs market in the summer. So if you are interested, the next Fresh Insights will be on Wednesday, the 11th of May. We have an employment law update with Simon Block. He's presented before at one of our events, and that was very, very popular, as you can imagine. So he'll be giving members an update on any issues that may affect you with your recruitment and various other aspects. So an employment law update on Wednesday, the 11th of May. Thank you for your time today. We do appreciate it. We're all super busy. I will send you links to the group and the recording very, very soon. And a huge thank you to Katie for sharing her insights today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.